Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
A good morning to you all. This is Hilary Turiagenda. Thank you, Pastor Moses, for the privilege to speak to the saints here at LAT today, the 19th of April, 2020. I'm always honored. I'm always humbled by every invitation, and I always trust God for the people to not be disappointed, to actually be helped, delivered, propelled forward, assisted, enabled, everything good you can imagine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to speak in the power of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, I ask you for ease of communication, for ease of bringing forth what heaven once delivered to earth. May we connect, may we capture what needs capturing, and may we execute effectively in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you very much. When I received the invitation to speak, my first thoughts, you know, sort of stumbled around. But then shortly, I felt like, yes, it's going to be healing. I'm going to talk about healing. Now, I didn't really have any very spectacular divine knowing of that. It just felt like, yes, that is it. And shortly after that, I happened to be looking through the emails from the administrator, and I found testimonies from members of LAT, and one of the members was testifying, actually two of the members were testifying about healing, which startled me. I mean, one was talking about being attacked by a condition called Bell's palsy, which causes some kind of paralysis in half of the face. And man, he's talking about how they had to believe God for recovery, and how God came through for them, and the recovery is happening. Wow, I was blessed. And then the other testimony was of one of the ladies testifying about how one night when her brother was unwell, he called her to bring him some water. So as she was preparing the water, she remembered the scripture that says, it's in Exodus actually 23:25, and it says that the Lord shall bless your bread and your water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days he will fulfill. Glory to Jesus. So she believed God that water can be blessed in such a circumstance. So she prayed for the water to be blessed and administered it to her brother. And if I remember how the story ended, the brother also benefited in being made well. Hallelujah. So I was encouraged. I felt like, yes, indeed, I've heard from heaven, and I'm supposed to be talking about this subject that I was feeling I should talk about. So you are hearing from heaven right now as I'm ministering. So be attentive, receive, you will be mightily blessed. Now, as I was meditating on healing further, after that point, what exactly to say about healing, because there's so many things you can say on any one subject in the Bible. But in this particular case, I was drawn to this thing of the connection between sickness, poverty, and death. We are in a season right now when the fear of death is really widespread. There is much concern because we are in a period of a pandemic. So there's fear of death, and certainly that death is being feared to come from a sickness. Yes, so people are concerned about whether they will die, whether they can stay alive, but also they're concerned about avoiding getting sick, which would lead them to dying. See, already you can see there's a connection in their minds between the two, from experience, from what they've seen, that usually people who get sick and don't get a remedy die. But there's also a further connection to something else, which is poverty. You'll notice that in many ways, the pandemic has caused a shutdown in economies worldwide, it has caused a standstill in economic activity. So people have found themselves in need, material need, provisions for home and household. And so already you can see, just from what we see externally, that these three things have been connected: the sickness, the death, and then the lack, which is really poverty. Glory to Jesus. In fact, news agencies are telling us that after this pandemic, there may be as many as 50% of the world's population below the poverty line. Now, we are believers. We need God's perspective. And usually God speaks into the situation to bring victory. Hallelujah. God always points us to victory. Hallelujah. And so in this situation, his word to us at this point in time is trying to bring us some insight to see beyond what the ordinary person sees. And the insight you'll see here actually also happens to be linked to the season we've just come fresh out of, and that is the season of Passover, what some people call Easter. We prefer to call it Passover because that is the Bible word. We've come out of Passover season just about a week ago. And in Passover season, remember, we commemorate what happened to the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt. And we know that when they're leaving Egypt, how it came to be called Passover is that they were being passed over by the death angel because of putting blood of the lambs they had sacrificed, the Passover lambs they had sacrificed on their doorsteps, on their doorposts, sorry. They were being passed over by the death angel and therefore saved from death. But it so happens, amazingly, that this experience happened to be tied to two other things that happened. And those two things were referenced in Psalm 105, verse 37, which tells us that God brought them forth, Jehovah, Yotevah, as we've been told, brought them forth out of Egypt with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now notice, they passed over by being passed over by the death angel. They passed over death. And at the same time, that which, and you notice that was demonstrated, or there was a figure of that experience made to happen in their crossing the Red Sea. By passing over death, they crossed the Red Sea as a commemoration of that passing over. And then in coming out, remember, they emerged with the treasures they had left Egypt with. Now, they came forth with silver and with gold. This is referenced for us in Exodus 12, 35 and 36, where we are told that the Israelites went and borrowed from the Egyptians, which the scholars tell us the word is mistranslated. It means actually taking as a right. You see that? So they took from the Egyptians as a right. And we know partly it makes sense because they had been not paid for their labor for many years. So in part they were taking as non-payment, you know, compensation for non-payment. Glory to Jesus. So they took treasures from the Egyptians. And the Bible tells us God gave them favor. The Egyptians did not refuse to settle their outstanding. They paid in gold and in silver. My goodness. And of course, in this case, I believe there was nothing like maybe a register of saying which particular Jews are getting which particular amounts. It was a mass collection or remittance of payments, glory to God, without discrimination. So they took treasures and exited. Remember, that very night, Passover was the night they started the journey, because they were instructed to eat the Passover with their clothes on and their shoes on, because that very night they were going to exit from Egypt. Now, so you can see the imagery there is very strong, connecting the three things that happened. They came forth from Passover, where they were passed over by the death angel, now with silver, laden with silver and with gold. And guess what? The third thing that characterized their departure was that in that very same action, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, that expression there should be taken seriously. It is not just remarking on something that just happened to be that way. You understand that if the statistics that we have are true and correct, and I believe they are, there were over 2 million persons that exited in the Exodus. 2 million persons. For 2 million persons to not have had a single feeble person. Hallelujah. After all the hard labor and the taskmasters beating them and all of that, for them to have exited Egypt, remember this scripture which tells us they left with none feeble, is telling us what their state was in the departure. It's not telling us what their state was before, but we can speculate that their state wasn't good. They were being flogged, beaten, hardly eating. Glory to God. They were malnourished in certain cases under hard labor. Glory to God. Notwithstanding the protection that God gave them from the 10 plagues, including darkness, gnats, frogs, all these things. But if you look at the larger picture, those people had been mistreated seriously, and mistreatment usually brings unwellness. Now, they came forth without any one of them feeble. Now, that is such a profound thing. That means there was no one incapacitated in any sense. In any sense you can think of, the Bible tells us about people that are feeble-minded. Glory to God. That means among these ones, they were no feeble-minded persons. Glory, the feeble-minded talked about in the New Testament. That means among these ones, even feeble-minded persons were not there, because there was none feeble. But there were not just that. There was no one with a scratch, with an itch. There was no one with a gnat. You know what gnats are. There was no one with warts, with there was no one who was crippled. There was no, you see, when you say there was none feeble, you are saying you are covering the whole gamut, the whole range. Nobody had anything wrong with them of any kind in any sense. They were all physically intact. They were all well. And of course, we can also include psychological unwellness. Because when you say someone is not feeble, like I said, you're including feeble-mindedness, obviously. So they were all intact, physically speaking, in well-being. They were well to the dot. Glory to Jesus. Now, those three things in that experience were connected. The sickness, the poverty, and the death were all taken care of in that experience. Now, the Lord, I felt definitely that the Lord wanted me to highlight this for us in this season, where He's trying to teach us that these things, this is the time when He wants us to experience His delivering power, His salvation, and His redemption. Glory to God in full measure. And sometimes, by the way, I read this in Deuteronomy today, sometimes He allows some of these situations to happen to teach us something. He said so in Deuteronomy chapter 8, from 1 to the end, from 1 to like verse 20. He said He brought them forth in this wilderness. And the Bible says that He allowed them to go hungry so that He might teach them that man shall not live by bread alone. You see, this shows you that God allows certain situations. Not those situations, by the way, are actually of the devil. The devil is the one who steals. Remember, John 10 verse 10 says, He comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Notice stealing, Stealing, what does stealing? People steal because they believe you have something worthwhile to own. Glory to God. And when they steal, they deplete you of what you own. So they cause you lack. Glory to God. So that tends towards poverty. When they kill, you know what killing does. Causes death. And then destruction is what sickness is. Psalm 107 verse 18 to like 20 tells us that fools, because of their transgressions, were afflicted. They are bad all manner of food. They lost appetite, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their distress, and he heard them. He sent his word. Notice, to these sick ones, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. From their destruction. Now, this scripture says he comes to destroy, to steal, causes poverty, to kill, causes death, to destroy, causes destruction, to destroy, causes destruction, which destruction, we are being told, is what healing comes to repair. Healing is coming to repair destruction. Hallelujah. Therefore, this destruction can be taken as sickness. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he who comes to bring life, and that they may have life more abundantly, definitely is coming to reverse all these three. But what I'm trying to show us, glory to Jesus, what I'm trying to show us is that when he allowed them to go hungry, like he said in Deuteronomy 8, he wanted to teach them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Now, how did he want to teach them that? He didn't want to teach them that by hunger. Yes, he allowed them to go hungry so that he might teach them this, but the teaching wasn't the hunger, you understand? The hunger only created the circumstance for him to teach them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, the only way that that teaching could have worked or done the job is if it actually made up for the absence of, if it compensated for the problem, if it reversed the situation. Now, that's why you see that just verses down, when he gets to verse 18, he says, now when you have eaten and you are full, do not say that my own power has gotten me this wealth. Notice that. So, like I'm saying, the hunger is not what taught them. The hunger only created the circumstance, and he allowed it so that he might teach them. But how he taught them wasn't by anger. He taught them by them, glory to God, if they received his word, now being made to be fed by that word. You see, when you're filled with the word of God, again, now that word of God is what feeds you. The Bible says that a man shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips. By the fruit of his lips of the word of God, speaking the word of God, he will be satisfied. Speaking the provision of God, the help of God, he will be satisfied from hunger. But now that satisfaction is not just spiritual. It's also saying that it will feed him. It will be his feeding trough. Physical, actual provision will come from him trusting the word of God, like we've been taught in these past weeks by Sister Joanne Isoke, and also the other words that have come before, that the word of God is pointing us to the word of God, to trust the word of God, that in this hunger, in this time of potential lack, we will be provided for. But we need to see the bigger picture, that these three things are connected. It's not by mere happenstance that we've ended up in a situation where these three things are aligned: sickness, poverty, and death. Now, we know this from our own experience. We know that the power that keeps you alive from death is the power that keeps you provided for against lack. We know that because lack tends towards death. And then we also know that this is the same power that keeps you well from sickness. Glory to Jesus. Because sickness tends to poverty, which tends to death. Like the other day, I was watching a man on TV who has a kidney problem, and he has to do dialysis twice every week. Every time he has to pay 300,000 for that. But that also does not include the travel he has to make from Mbale to Kampala, Novik Hospital, and go back. and come back. Every time he said he uses like 400 something thousand. Now, he said he has reached a point where even the people that used to help him, the people that used to help him out, are disinclined to do so because they are in a time of constraint. Glory to God. Now you can see that man has been impoverished. He said he has sold everything he has. He has, you can imagine what he has had to do to fight that sickness. Glory to God. Now, that's what we're talking about. The three things are connected. And so if you're going to be preserved from one of them, you're going to have to be preserved from all of them. You can't just be taken care of in as far as death is concerned and not be taken care of in as far as sickness or poverty is concerned and make it. You can't just be taken care of in terms of sickness and not be taken care of in terms of poverty, because the poverty will get you to what sickness would have gotten you to, which is death. So the three things are connected. What kills makes poor and ultimately makes unwell. And what makes unwell makes poor and ultimately kills. That's how we get to think about well-being. You notice even when we talk about well-being, that statement is threefold. When we say you have well-being, if we thought about it, we'd realize that well-being includes physical well-being. When you say you are well, glory to God, you are well. You say, I'm well. I'm well, as opposed to being sick. But then in there, if you think about it, you're also including faring well. Glory to God. Faring well, doing well. We normally call it welfare. We call it being well off. You know, when you're not well off or when you're hard up, we say all is not well. Glory to God. That is not just nice language and poetry. We're talking about being well taken care of, being well off, having welfare, faring well, doing well. We even talk about being well to do. We call wealthy people those who are well to do. We call wealthy people those who are well off. Now, this is not a coincidence. So you can see welfare includes welfare as in physical well-being, but also it is welfare in the sense that things are faring well with you. You're doing well, you're well to do, you're well off, you're well taken care of. But then there's the third element, which is that you are alive. And being alive, we call being alive and well. when you say, hey, how is so and so? I mean, he went to battle. Did he return? He's alive and well. He's alive. He survived. That's what you mean when you say they are alive and well. They survived without a scratch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's wellness in three dimensions. It's wellness in that you have physical well-being. You are well as opposed to being sick. But it's also wellness in the sense that you are well off. You're well to do. You're doing well. You're faring well. You have welfare. All is, instead of it being that all is not well, you are actually well taken care of. And then lastly, you are alive. You are alive and well. You went to a coronavirus hit region and you came back and people were like, who is so and so? Where is he? And people tell you, he's alive and well. He's alive and well. You see, glory to God. So, well-being. So the Lord is bringing us to this, that man, he who came to steal came to destroy. He who came to destroy came to kill. And stealing is meant to bring you lack. Lack is meant to kill. Killing is meant to destroy. Hallelujah. Lack is meant to destroy, which destruction is meant to kill. That is the cycle. Those are the three things put together. And in fact, hallelujah, if you think about these things, you're going to realize why now it's ever more important for us to look to God to preserve us alive, to keep us alive. Hallelujah. And his word, I can tell you, friends, is assured to work for us. It's going to work for us. Hallelujah. He says in Isaiah 35, verse 3 to 7, strength. Then you, the weak hands, and confirm you, the feeble knees, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Hear those words. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness, notice how provision is coming into the healing picture. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. My goodness, that's a promise of God. So he's challenging us to believe him. He says, behold, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says, therefore choose life that you may live. Choose life and you will live. Let me tell you, friends, how do you choose life? You decide, man, I'm not going to die. You're like the psalmist who says, I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the praises of God. That is a choice you make. And you know why you do that? Because you don't want the plan of God to be wiped off the face of the earth. All the enemy needs to do to stop the plan of God is to get you out of the picture. If he can get, because you are the soldiers, you are the implementers of the plan of God. If he can wipe you off the face of the earth, the plan of God will die. And he means to, he's really, really serious about killing. You see, someone who plans to kill you isn't a joker. Isn't a player. They really mean business. And when you find out that someone wants to kill you, you stop the joking. You stop the playing around. And you know how what that person who wants to kill you looks like? He doesn't come as a killer. You know, in John chapter 3 verse 16, the famous most read scripture, people never really realize what the other verses after it say. The other verses after it says that among the things they said, this is the testimony that light has come into the world, but men love darkness because their deeds were evil. And then he says that he who does evil hates the light because the light would expose his deeds. But he who does good, he who does right, comes to the light that his deeds may be exposed that they are done in God. Now, because the enemy does evil, by the way, evil means to destroy, to do harm. Luke 10:19 tells us that, behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. To trample over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the wicked one, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means the wicked one means to hurt you. He intends to really kill you. He really means to destroy you. Because that's what he means to do. He's not going to come in the obvious way. He said in John 3, those other verses after 16, that he who does evil hates the light. He hates to come exposed. So what does he do? He disguises himself. So he's a killer, but instead of coming as a killer, an assassin, he disguises himself as just one making you sick. And because you think sickness is just germs and things like that, viruses, and so you opt into the sickness not knowing it is a disguise for death. Or he comes with the disguise of poverty, you know, telling you the glory of poverty. And yet you don't know that because he meant to do evil, he couldn't have come obviously saying he's coming to kill you. He needed to come in a way that instead is stealing. And stealing doesn't always look like it is stealing, and even much less that it is killing. But if you can trust God that you are seeing well, now that you've heard this word, then believe God to stay alive. He says it, and I repeat as I close, that behold, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that you may live. And choose it how? Choose it by refusing to be sick, by trusting God for healing. Choose it by refusing to be poor, trusting God for provision, because it all comes to one thing: keeping you alive. This was all we had time for you today. Remember to tune in at 6:30 p.m. this evening, Sunday, on 98.4 Impact FM for the program by Pastor Moses called The Words of Moses, and you will be blessed.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.